Hey, Russell Evans here. We're so excited that you've joined us today at Planet Shakers Church. We trust this message will impact and change your life.
I want to preach to you today on the topic, breakthrough praise. And I think anything could happen. Breakthrough praise. I believe that praising God is a simple key that God has given us as a catalyst for change and breakthrough. Where should I put this? There's a slight rearrangement here. Hang on. That fits nicely. I really believe that praise is a simple key that God has actually given us as a catalyst. What's a catalyst? In case you don't remember chemistry class, a catalyst is something that causes a reaction and a change to take place. I believe that praise is a simple key that's like a spiritual catalyst to cause a reaction to take place in our lives. I believe that praise is all about Him, but somehow shifting the focus onto Him has always had a profound effect on us. It's really, really simple. And yet we've got a way sometimes of turning the simple keys that God gives us into things that are way more confusing than they need to be. I was thinking about it during the week. Grace is really simple. In fact, 1 Corinthians 1 talks about the fact that the message of the cross, this good news of Jesus Christ, God's grace, is actually foolishness to the world because it sounds too simple. It's something simple, and yet it's crazy how the world, we would rather, it makes more sense to us to try and spend our whole life trying to earn something, and people would actually spend millions of dollars trying to buy something that God already offers us for free. Grace is really simple, but sometimes we overcomplicate it. I believe praise is also a really, really simple key that God would want to give us in order to launch us into a breakthrough in our lives. And sometimes in areas that are seemingly disconnected from where we're praising. I don't know, but perhaps praise could be a simple answer to something that you've been medicated for. Perhaps praise could be a simple key to something that's been holding you back and discouraging you lately. Perhaps praise could be a simple key to something that you've been studying books for and trying to search answers for and trying to Google things about. But maybe in the midst of searching and educating yourself and medicating yourself, God would say those things are all good and they're necessary and there's value in them. But I already gave you a simple key to bring turnaround, to bring breakthrough, to bring about a shift in so many areas of your life. And it's a simple little thing called praise. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now we got a little bit to read here, so just flow with me. Thank you, Dr. Nikki. Here we go. You all right? You ready? You're not ready, but let's go. You'll get ready. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It says, after this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and some of the Meunites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. He's the king of Judah, which is God's people. Now, a side point here, especially for our young people, in case we don't know, whenever we see something like this, a battle represented in the Old Testament, it might be talking about people fighting against people, but what we've got to recognize is that it's a symbol of us, symbol to us of showing that there is always an enemy against God's people. Now, in the New Testament, in the age that we're living at, what we fight is never people. Ephesians chapter 6 says that we are not waging war against people. We're not fighting against people. We're called to love people and to serve people and to bring healing to our community. Amen? Whether it's our school or our neighborhood or our workplace, we're not fighting against people. But the Bible uses these illustrations from the Old Testament to show us that God always wants to give us victory in the midst of the battles that we face. So here we have a picture of that right now. Some people came and told the king a vast army is coming against you. Have you ever felt like there was a vast army coming against you? Have you ever felt like there were circumstances surrounding you and you felt like you couldn't get out? There's a vast army coming against you, he gets told, from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea, and it's already in Hezazon Tamar, that is En Gedi. Now, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. This is what Pastor Russell and Pastor Sam have been teaching us in the midst of getting news about things that might be coming against us. Now, I don't mean to assume that things are coming against you, but I live life too. And everyday life brings things against our faith and against our relationship with God and against us growing in God. But here's what I love about this. This is a picture of what you and I are supposed to do in the midst of maybe being alarmed about what's coming against us. He resolved to inquire of the Lord. Now would be a really good time for us to make that decision in our life, to begin to inquire of the Lord. We're going to jump down to, well, it says the whole nation came out to seek God with him. But jumping down to verse 13, it says, all the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, okay, the son of heaps of people, as he stood in the assembly. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, because of the things that you're facing, in other words. For the battle is not yours, but God's. I mean, that's a better place to get excited than what you're giving it right there. The battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They'll be climbing up by the pass of Ziz. What a pass. And you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. Then some Levites from those places stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert. And as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. They kind of had like a quick church meeting, maybe like this. And he got up and he said, listen. I don't know. It's almost like you can kind of feel the nervousness in his voice. You know, when it's like, listen, I don't really know what's about to happen. But yesterday we got a prophetic word and it's all we got. Like, can you sense like that kind of vibe in the atmosphere? You know, when it's like, listen, I'm kind of nervous too. Our whole nation is here. I don't know how to face them, but all I know is that God came upon somebody yesterday and he told us that God was going to fight this battle for us. I love what he says next. He says, have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Not just that, but have faith in his prophets and you will be successful. Do you know that we've got a prophetic voice in this church called Pastor Russell? And the Bible just told us to have faith in God, but also to have faith in the word that he speaks through his prophetic voice. And there is a prophetic voice in our church, and we have got a prophetic word over our year right here called Breakthrough and Glory. And it says, you know what? Have faith in that prophetic word and in what God's doing, and you will be successful. And that's awesome. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out ahead, at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord for his love endures. His love endures forever. And as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. As they began to sing and praise, their enemies were defeated. Breakthrough praise. Man, I want to tell you, I think you should know it's the heart of Pastor Russell and Sam that nothing is ever taught up here for the sake of goosebumps. Nothing is ever taught in our services for the sake of riling up a meeting and let's all feel good but go home the same. That's never the heart of this church. Everything we're preaching up here is designed that we would take it home. It's like a take-home pack. You know what I mean? It's something that's supposed to affect the rest of your week, the rest of my week, and it's something that we're supposed to actually live in. I'm saying that because some of us think that praise is the first 15 minutes of the service and it's when you jump up and down to a fast song and it's where you get goosebumps and it's where we all shout when we know we're supposed to stand and shout in the message because somebody's shouting at you so you're supposed to shout back. And we reduce praise to just that little moment in a service. But I'm telling you that praise is incredibly practical. Praise is actually something that you do. I'm here to tell you, teenager, if you're studying in school, or maybe some of us that are in university, I'm telling you that if you learn to be a praiser, being a praiser will dramatically influence the way that you study. That's truth right there. Learning to be a praiser will dramatically influence the way that you do your teenage years and the way that you grow up over the next 5 or 6 years. If you've got a family and you're raising children, I want to tell you that learning to be a praiser will dramatically affect the way that you raise children and the atmosphere in your home. If you're working 5 days a week, I want to tell you that learning to be a praiser will dramatically affect the way that you work in your workplace. Praise is practical. It's not just 15 minutes. At the start of the service, it's something that you and I were designed to do. But it's not just something that we do, it's actually what we were made to do. Isaiah 43 verse 21 says that you and I, His people, were made for His praise. I don't know what your first job was. My first job was a paper boy, and I was pretty good at it, to be honest. I got lots of tips at Christmas time because I like to put those newspapers right on the doorstep of the old. I knew who the old people were, and I knew that they were worth taking care of because I knew the tips were nice at Christmas. In fact, I went to 2 Planet Shakers conference. I bought the airfare there and back all because of the paper round tips. But the reality was, that wasn't my first job. I don't know what your first job was. Teenagers, I don't know if you're still waiting to get a job. Maybe some more of you should apply for jobs, just saying. But anyways, the reality is, whatever your first job, that wasn't your first job, because before you were hired by whoever you were hired by, or maybe you're working for yourself, good on you. But before that was your occupation, you already had a vocation, and that vocation was to be a praiser. And I'm here to tell you that long after you retire from whatever it is that you do on earth, I'm here to tell you that praising is your eternal vocation. It's the job that you and I are going to be holding down for all of eternity. It's what we're going to be spending our heavenly years. Watching an eagle fly feels good because it's doing what it was made to do. Watching a dolphin swim feels good because it's doing what it was made to do. Watching LeBron dunk feels good because he's doing what he was made to do. But watching God's people praise, I mean, it's what you were made to do. If you know you were made for praise, I dare you to stand up on your feet and just do what you were designed to. Just do what He gave you a voice box to do. Just clap your hands, all ye people. Jump up and down. Make a joyful noise in the house of the... Psalm 147 verse 1 says, praise the Lord, how good it is to sing praise to our God, how pleasant and fitting. Number one, say number one, what praise is. I mean, you may as well just keep playing, Nikki. The Oxford Dictionary says to express warm approval or admiration of, or to express one's respect or gratitude towards, like especially a deity and especially in song. The Bible has a little bit more to say about praise than that. It uses a lot of different words. I've got a list for you here. When it's talking about praise, it uses some words like magnify, glorify, exalt, bless, honor, sing, speak, sacrifice, confess. I should have done this in alphabetical order. Would have felt better. Confess, shout, clap your hands, dance, play music, boast about, give thanks, declare, have joy, rejoice, be glad, and many more. I don't know if you noticed something there, though. A lot of them are doing words. They're not thinking things. They're doing words. We call them verbs. They're things that you and I actually put into action. Clap your hands. It's something that you do. Sing, rejoice, be glad. It's something that you and I do. And if it's something that we do, then it's something that we can decide to do. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's not a response of what I'm going through or whether things are good or bad. It's something that I do and something that I was made to do. And it's also something that I can make a decision to do. And it's not that I'm forcing it, although it might feel like it sometimes. I don't feel like lifting my hands. I don't feel like I've got a reason to rejoice. I don't feel like clapping my hands. But I'm going to do because I'm going to do this because I was made to do this. I'm going to do this because I understand what praise is. It's something that I can decide to do. And especially, shout out to our young people in the place, something we've got to learn growing up is that decisions can be more powerful than our feelings. Oh, yeah. You feel a lot of things in your feelings. Maybe you live in your feelings. The problem with that, if you live in your feelings, is that your feelings always change, especially when you're a young person. I mean, they change more like this. It's just an everyday life being young. And when you live based upon your feeling, when you make decisions based on the way that you feel, then those things are going to be up and down and roundabout depending on what you're going through and the way that you feel and the way that you woke up and who you talked to that day. But in the midst of a lot of different feelings, you can make a decision. I might have come into this service worried about what's going on in our world across the globe. I might have come into this service weighed down by what somebody said to me online. I might have come weighed down into this service because of my finances and what's going on. But in the midst of those realities, in the midst of being surrounded by many things coming against me, I can make a decision to do what I was made to do. I will bless the Lord. Like Pastor Neil preached so well last week, I will magnify the Lord. Praise is something that we do. Number two, praise. Who praise is about? I mean, this is simple. Praise is simple. Don't overcomplicate it. Praise is about God. And that's one of the most important things that you can get. It's not about until you feel different. It's just about focusing on Him. Praise is all about God. It's a response to who He is. It's a reaction and a response. And like I was just saying, if praise is a reaction and a response, then reactions are based upon what you're looking at. I broke my front teeth when I was about 7, staying at a friend's house, playing down ball in the kitchen, but it was a concrete floor. And I went to save, a miraculous save, I must say, just amazing. But in the process, just face planted. Had two little fangs poking down. I didn't know that though. I just looked up and went. But my 7-year-old friend Sam did what kids do when they're reacting to something, and he reached out and grabbed the part of his body, even though his body wasn't hurting. He was reacting to what he thought was hurting in me, and he went like this. So I just did another reaction to what he was doing and went. We live by reactions. But when we live by reactions of responses to things that change, then our reactions change. But what if we lived by a reaction to something that never changes? When your response of praise is all about Him, then your response doesn't fluctuate and doesn't change because the one who you're praising never changes. No matter how you're feeling, your God is good. There should have been a way bigger amen on the end of that. I'm looking for some people who know it. No matter what your circumstances are saying, your God is powerful, not just on Sundays. No matter what's going on in your life, your God is faithful 100% of the time. He does not change. He does not change like shifting shadows, the Bible says. So if He doesn't change, then neither does my praise. Neither does my reaction to who He is. That's what praise is. That's who praise is about. But what does praise do? Like I said, praise is all about Him, but somehow He's so good in that it has a profound effect on us. I heard Pastor Rudy say a lot of times, instead of telling your God about how big your problems are, you should tell your problems about how big your God is. It's actually where the song Praise Over Problems came from. I tell my problems. No, let's not do that again. You play. I thought about it. That's powerful. Now, there's something powerful about telling God about your problems. I've read this because it's important. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares for you. So praying about your problems and telling God about your problems is really, really important. It's just, I don't know if you've noticed it, but when I come to God with a shopping list of answers that I need to the problems that I'm facing, sometimes I end up more focused on my problems the more that I pray. Is it just me, or have you ever noticed that? The more I begin to pray about my problems, man, sometimes I've spent half an hour standing there and I'm getting more and more passionate, doing more and more of the prayer things. Shabbatabanama, thank you, Jesus. But the more that I'm trying to pray, the more that I keep focused on the problems that are going on in my life. Because here's what's amazing that we learned last week is that you and I, by nature, are magnifiers. How does a magnifying glass work? It works really, really simply, just like praise does. Whatever you focus it on, it blows up. Whatever you focus it on, it makes bigger through that lens. You don't have to do much with it. You just have to make a decision to focus it on something. And whatever you focus it on, it magnifies. You and I are just like that magnifying glass. Whatever we make a decision to focus on begins to get magnified in our thoughts, in our heart, in our lives. That's why the more we focus on the media and the more we focus on what everybody else is saying, then the more we care about what they're saying. But the more that we focus on the Word of God and what He says about us, then that begins to be magnified in our life as well. So in the middle of praying, even though I'm talking to Him, I'm still focused on this. And when I'm focused on that, that's all that's being magnified to me. Have you ever tried to have a conversation with someone who is actually still looking at something else? Huh? Yeah. What? Oh, I mean, so bad, sorry. She died. I mean, yeah, sorry. Well, parents, have you ever tried to have a conversation where your kids are playing a game on the... this is a good one for you. Have you ever tried to have a conversation with someone and you're coming up, talking to them this way, but they're facing this way, and you're trying to get in the conversation and they're doing this? Anyways, yeah, so just a hot tip. If their body language hasn't changed, especially to some of our boys, if you're trying to have a conversation with a girl. If she won't even turn to face you, they're probably not interested in having a conversation with you. They might be talking this way, but they're not letting their focus move off this way. I think that in prayer sometimes God is saying, you're talking at me, but you refuse to shift your body language and you're still focused on the problems and the things that you're going through. You can talk at me all you want, but all that's being magnified is what you're focused on. This is where praise comes in, because something about praise shifts your body language and all of a sudden it causes you to turn and focus on who He is. Praise brings about a breakthrough. Praise brings about a change. Praise brings about something that shifts on the inside of you before it shifts anything outside of you. Praise causes your focus to shift. Praise causes your attention to shift off what you're going through, off the way that you feel, off the problems that are surrounding you right now. And all of a sudden you just remember who He is. It's really, really simple. This is where I'm supposed to tell a story that's kind of foolish and kind of stupid, but sometimes that's what praise is. A couple of years ago when Susanna and I, yeah, the team can come out, that'll help me hurry up. But a couple of years ago, Susanna and I were, we just had become the youth pastors and we were trying to run the biggest event that Boom had ever run, because that's what Planet Shakers do. We take steps of faith and we go, this one's going to be bigger than ever before. And now we're going to do more than we've ever done before because we got faith. Except for sometimes that's scary. When you read the Bible and you see great steps of faith, you've got the benefit of hindsight. You know the end of the story. But when you're taking steps of faith, you don't know what it feels like the moment after this one. You just know that in the middle of this, I know what you said, God, and I know that what I wanted to step out and do it. But right now, I'm not sure about the way that it feels. I was having one of those moments. It was about 2 a.m. and I couldn't sleep. It was the night before the event and I didn't know, is anybody even going to show up? God, is this going to work? God, is everything going to go wrong? God, is people going to get hurt? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And I began to pray, and I was praying for literally like an hour, trying to be spiritual, pacing up and down in the kitchen. But the more I was focused on what could go wrong, the more I thought it probably will go wrong, and the less sleep I was getting, until in the middle of that, the Holy Spirit said, praise. I've told this story before, some of you might know it, but I began to think about the fact that in the Old Testament, there's a Hebrew word for praise, and it's halal. Yeah, halal. HSP. Halal. Supernatural praise. It's a Hebrew word, halal, and it literally means to brag on, to rave on about, to boast about. That's the kind of praise that the Bible talks about. I'm sick of hearing pop culture songs come out that are all about people bragging about how good they are, how famous they are, how many girls they've got, or guys they've got, or money they've got, or opportunities they've got, or sold out shows they've got. I wish some music would rise up that would brag about God. I wish some young people would rise up that would brag about what God is doing in their life, not about what they're doing in their life. So in the middle of the kitchen, 2 a.m., I'm like feeling like King Jehoshaphat surrounded by a great army. And I thought to myself, if I'm going to be surrounded, at least I got a captive audience. They may as well hear about how big my God is. So kettle, stay there. Yeah, because you're going to represent this problem. Microwave. Sit down, have another chicken wing, and listen to me brag about who God is right now. I began to just place these appliances around our kitchen, representing the problems that I was facing. And then I began to whisper, because it was 2 a.m., but kind of whisper, shout, you know when you're doing this? Yeah. And the crowd went, wow. I began to brag about, I said, Kettle, listen up, because I think you might have forgotten who my Jesus is. Oh, he's not small. He's not insignificant. In fact, he's never lost a battle. In fact, not even death could defeat him. Let me tell you about my Jesus. I'm not bragging about my ability because I might fail, but let me brag about who Jesus is because he's never going to let me down. And while I'm at a microwave, let me brag about who my Father is because he's my provider and he never fails me. And in the middle of 2 a.m., I began to, I'm in socks and jocks, jumping up and down in my kitchen doing this. But I felt like I wasn't alone. I actually felt like Jesus was in the middle dancing with me going, yeah, I am. Yeah, tell him. Yeah, I am that good. Tell him. Yeah, I am that powerful. Tell him. So, if you're visiting today and you're wondering, oh no, I thought it was going to be like this, full of crazy people. There's a reason that we're praising, and I'm going to give you an opportunity in a moment to encounter the person, the reason that we rejoice, the reason that we sing and dance. Don't go anywhere. But here's what I want to invite you to do. Would you stand to your feet? Because I reckon we just need to halal this up a little. It feels like that's wrong to say, but it's not. I think we just need to turn this into a boasting session. Because praise brings breakthrough. Praise is a catalyst. The moment they began to sing and praise, God defeated them. But that doesn't make any sense. How could that be possible? They didn't even hear them. They weren't even in the vicinity. And yet the moment they began to praise, God brought about a shift in something that wasn't even related to it. I'm telling you, praise brings breakthrough. So, if you want to praise with me, here's what I want you to do. Turn that way. Like full body language, that way. But this stage is going to represent where God is at, because I'm up here and it feels like he's with me. So, yeah. And when you're ready to brag about your God, I mean, this is simple. Pick something. Pick His goodness. Pick His faithfulness. Pick the fact that He saved you. Pick the fact that Jesus loved you enough to die on the cross and rose again from the grave. Pick something and brag about it until you know that something is beginning to shift. When you want to begin to boast and brag, I'm inviting you right now to turn to face who He is, because you, young person, older person, whoever you are, person, are a magnifier, and whatever you focus on is going to get bigger in your life. So whenever you're ready, go ahead and halal this place up and brag about who your God is. When you want to shift, then shift and begin to lift your voice and brag about it. Whenever you want to turn to face Him,
we're so blessed that you joined us today. Thank you for being with us. We'd love to connect with you at church@planetshakers.com on an email or on any social media platform. Connect with us, and we want to pray for you and believing the best for you. And we'll see you next week. Don't miss out. God bless you.